Let's look here, Psalm chapter 133, and we'll just read the whole chapter, three verses. Let's read it together in unison. Can we do that? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's read just verse 1 again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's pray. Father, help us, give us understanding of your word, and challenge us, strengthen us today, this group of people. Help our love for one another to be stronger. Help our care for one another to be greater. And help us to be united and in harmony as a church family for the cause of Christ and for the work of the Lord, and knit together close in heart as a Christian family, as a church family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Unity is to run from top to bottom, run from stronger to weaker, run from mature to immature. Those are interesting verses in there, but it talks about the precious ointment first starting upon the head. Sometimes when we think of oil in the Bible, we think of the Holy Spirit. And it talks here about a precious ointment that comes upon the head and then runs down to Aaron's beard. It gives the example, and then down to the skirts or the hem or the edges of his garment, his clothing. As the dew of Hermon that starts at the top of the mountain and descends down upon the mountain. Unity should run from top to bottom, stronger to weaker, from mature to immature. And what do I mean by that? It needs to be many times those that are the stronger or those that are the more mature Christian that they choose to sometimes do some things to act in a way to help make sure there's unity and harmony. Sometimes those that may be less mature or less spiritual, if I can say it that way, less spiritually developed, less spiritually mature, they may be ones that may tend to have a greater difficulty in getting along with others or in showing forgiveness. But understand that as we grow spiritually and as we mature, we should be able to get over offenses more easily. We don't hold offenses in our heart. We don't hold a grudge in our heart. If another believer or another person at church, another church member, another Christian, maybe they say something that offends us, or maybe they're a bit abrupt with us, or they're a bit rough with us. For example, last week in the choir, I kind of got on the choir a little bit. Because once in a while, they frustrate me. Sometimes girls are talking when I wish they were listening, or things like that happen. And I was like, you know, I kind of got on them a little bit, you know. I got on them, didn't I? And you know, to pay attention, quit wasting everybody's time, and let's focus on what we're doing. And that, you know, I was trying to bring a little correction, but, you know, there could be a time where maybe somebody would be a little bit offended by that. And do I want to offend people? No, but maybe sometimes could offend people by having a little bit of a rough manner. There may be times where somebody is a little bit rough and they're speaking with somebody at church, and maybe it's just because they're having a bad day. Maybe it's because they've got some trouble going on in their life or some sorrow in their life that maybe sometimes it causes them to speak a bit roughly or not speak as kindly as they ought to speak. You know, it is many times very true that those who maybe because of some heartache in their own life or some struggle in their own life or some hurt in their own life, they tend to hurt other people. Because they're hurting, sometimes they tend to lash out and hurt others. And should we be that way? No, of course not. We shouldn't be that way at all. And it's wrong when we are. But sometimes maybe because somebody has a heavy heart or they have a burden that they're going through, or they've had a lot of trials in their life or they've had a lot of hurts in their life, they may tend to hurt other people. And it's possible where sometimes even as Christians, even as believers, even as born again children of God, that we're saved and we're forgiven, where we're not always as nice to other people as we should be. We're maybe not always as kind to other people as we should be. We're maybe not always as tender hearted and forgiving and sweet as we should be. You'd like to think that everybody could always speak a kind word, but sometimes we may be rough or sometimes we may speak unkindly. And you know what needs to happen? We need those that are more mature, those that have grown a little bit more in their faith, to make sure that they do all that they can to maintain unity and harmony. And you know what? It may not necessarily mean that it's the person that's been saved the longest either. It may just be the person whose heart is getting the most in tune with God right now, that they're the one that's growing the most, and they're the ones that really are maturing the most in that moment. You know, sometimes there can be people that have been saved a long, long time, but yet they're not spiritually mature. They're maybe not like they should be, and sometimes they won't act like they should. Listen, we need to be ones, all of us, who will work harder to treat other people the way Christ would want us to treat them, right? God always wants there to be unity. God wants there to be strong harmony. And you know what? God wants there to be unity and harmony in our homes too. You know what God wants for all these people that live at 10 Amaryllis Avenue? He wants there to be unity. He wants there to be harmony. Now, is everyone that lives at 10 Amaryllis Avenue, are we all the same? No. All these people on the front row, they happen to live at 10 Amaryllis Avenue. Now, they're all different. They're all unique. They have different personalities and different spiritual gifts and different mannerisms and all kinds of things. There may be some similar things, but they're all very different. And we have unique differences, and you'll have unique differences in your home and in your family and so on, and amongst the church, right? We understand that as parts of the body, as members of the body, we're all different parts of the body. We're all different members of the church body. Not everyone is an eye, not everyone's an ear, not everyone's a hand or a foot or a leg. The Bible compares us to being a church body. But we're all different parts of the body and different members of the body, and we're never to say, well, I don't need the ear, or I don't need the eye, or I don't need the foot. The Bible teaches very clearly in Corinthians about how there should never be a schism in the body. In other words, that we should never want to cut off one part of the body to think, well, I don't need them, I don't need that part of the body. If so-and-so didn't come back, good riddance. I don't even particularly like them. I wish they weren't here or weren't in church. But what a terrible attitude that would be. It should never be that we'd want to cut someone off or say, I wish they weren't even here. We'd be better off without them. They're just a nuisance, or I kind of don't like them. It should never be that way. The Bible teaches us a lot about having unity of the brethren and having a common bond and so on. And I just wanted to remind us today of how important I think it is. We could look at it all and over and over again throughout the scriptures of how it's important that we be in unity. It's important that we live in unity and live in harmony as believers in a church and even as members of a family, a church family, or as our own physical family, our earthly family. That we strive as much as is possible within us to live peaceably and to live in unity and to live in harmony. Unity is a very important thing. Again, if you still have your Bible open, Psalm 133 and verse 1, what did it say? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity. Now, who's the brethren? Well, of course, it could be in the, you know, that word was an Old Testament word too, many times, for, you know, the brethren. You've got the different tribes of Israel and the different families of Israel that really were, to some extent, separated. There was a bit of a clannish type thing, and the way they lived and the way they lived off the land and were shepherds and that so on. Many times families stuck together. And so, yes, there ought to be unity amongst brethren and amongst family. But I think very much so, we can see it through the scriptures, that God wants there to be unity amongst God's family. God wants there to be unity amongst a church family. God wants there to be unity amongst a Christian family, that we love one another and we seek to be kind to one another and we exercise some spiritual maturity. We forgive others when they've wronged us. We don't allow ourselves to be offended or to be hurt or to hold a grudge against somebody else. Unity is very, very important. Turn with me over to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And look there in verses 12 and 13. Acts chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. It says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The Bible talks about them continuing with one accord. They were in unity. They were in harmony. Why? Why? Of course they had a common bond because they knew the Lord and they were saved and they were believers. They were followers of Christ. And that really, honestly, is one of the most wonderful things in the world that unites us, isn't it? Because you know something? We're all different, right? Lauren is from the Bahamas. Edie, you are from Nigeria, right? Astrid, your family's background was from Jamaica, right? Lucy was from the Philippines. John, your family background was from Italy. And George, your family was from Italy as well, right? I think Italian background, right? And I'm kind of Canadian, and I'm one of the few Canadians here. And my wife is from the States, and everybody knows there can be problems there and so on. Hey, we're all from different places, and we'll all come from different backgrounds. But it's amazing the unity that we can have as a family of God, as a Christian family. It's very true. And those of you that have been saved for a long time, or you've been in church a long time, you know it's true that many times you feel closer to your church family than you do to a lot of your relatives. I mean, obviously I'm close to my immediate family and you know, my mom and, you know, my sisters and so on. But honestly, I have a much greater closeness to my church family than I do to most of my relatives. Because we have such a common bond, and we have a common fellowship together. We fellowship in the Word of God. We fellowship together in serving the Lord. We set up a church together. We clean a building together. We go soul winning together. We come to Sunday school together. We sing together. We have a common bond because we're followers of Jesus Christ. And we have a unity that binds us together. And that's a wonderful thing, to have that unity. And unity is very, very important for us as brethren and as a church family. Notice that they continued with one accord in prayer. It's wonderful when we can pray together. It's wonderful if you can get in a group with two or three other people and pray together. I mentioned another time about sometimes just on your own, maybe taking the initiative to yourself before a service to maybe ask somebody else if maybe you could pray with them before the service, and pray for the service, and pray for the pastor, and pray for the church, and pray for those that will sit in a service together. It's wonderful when we can pray together, maybe pray in a home or pray in a coffee shop or pray in a church service together. That's what it talks about here, continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Supplications even when we pray for others, supplicating for others. Look over at chapter 2, Acts 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know, that wasn't a Honda Accord. That wasn't them all trying to squeeze into one little Honda together. No, that was talking about unity. That was talking about the church. That was talking, that was funny. That was talking about believers, and they were in unity together. They were in harmony together. They loved one another. They were striving together for something common. Back in the upper room, they were praying together because they wanted the Holy Spirit to come, and they wanted His power. They were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And now they come here in Acts chapter 2, and they're in one accord, they're in unity. They want to see God do something great and wonderful. And then turn over to the end of the chapter, Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Boy, they continued daily with one accord. They were in unity daily. And understand, it was times when, and they were oftentimes closer together. They lived closer together. They would walk when they traveled. So those of a church and so on, it wouldn't be too far for them to walk and so on. And their lives were less busy and extreme than our lives are nowadays. But listen, they spent much time together. It wouldn't be uncommon for, can you come over to my home, and can we have a meal together, and can we pray together in our home? Can we read the scriptures together in our home? And for maybe one family to invite another family, or one, let's say, older Christian to, one more mature Christian to invite a newer Christian. Can we have coffee together? Or can we have a meal together? Can we spend some time together? And they did that. They spent much time together. Not just in the temple, not just in the marketplace, not just in the meeting place, but even many times from house to house and in their homes, they would spend time together. They would pray together. I think they would read the Bible together. They could eat a meal together. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Boy, the blessing of God was upon them. And the power of God was upon them. Why? Here was a church that was in unity. Here was the early church. Here was the New Testament church. Here was the first church that we see in the book of Acts. When the church begins to explode and so on, and the church will begin to grow here in Jerusalem, and thousands of people will get saved there on that day of Pentecost. It was a great thing, but it starts with a church in unity. It starts with believers who could unite to pray together, and believers who would unite to, they could enjoy a meal together. Believers who could unite to read the Word of God together and study the Word of God together and pray together and spend time together, and they went to church together and they loved one another. Listen, unity is very, very important. We must have unity. We must have unity of purpose. We'll never have unity of people in the sense that we're all different, right? Rhodora is going to be different from Lauren, and Lauren's going to be different from Lucy, and Lucy's going to be different from George, and George is going to be different from Edie, and Edie's going to be different from BJ, and we're all going to be different as people and different as individuals. But you know what we can have? We can have unity of purpose. We can have unity of purpose. We've got a common bond. We're in Christ Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I've been born again and baptized. I'm a part of the church. And we can have unity because in the church and as a church body and in our purpose to live the Christian life and follow Jesus and try to bring others to Jesus, we can be united together. We can rally together in our common bond and in our common purpose. What a great blessing it is when there's a church where people are in unity. What does unity do? Unity produces strength. Unity produces strength. I ever heard this little saying, maybe it's kind of a Canadian thing or a school thing, or maybe it was my teacher. See this finger? See this thumb? See this fist? You better run. Amen. That's not a good thing to teach in church, but you know what? One of these fingers isn't so scary. I mean, it can be scary in a certain situation, but one of these fingers, unless I'm some sort of like super ninja guy, couldn't really hurt another person much. But you know what happens when I take them and I draw them all together into unity? Ooh, then it could really pack a punch, right? When there's unity, things are always stronger. And when we take all these different individuals that are all kind of different, and on our own we may not be as strong, but when we unite together and we come together and we pray together and we go soul winning together, what happens? We become stronger. We become more courageous. We become more bold in living for Christ. We become more likely to do the right thing because we're encouraged, because there's somebody next to me, there's somebody with me, and we've got a common bond and a common purpose to live for Christ or follow Christ. Boy, there's something wonderful, but when we have a unity of purpose, unity produces strength. Remember that thought. Unity produces strength. Here's another thought. Harmony produces beauty. Harmony produces beauty. When a choir or when a big group, if they were all to sing in unison, if they were all to sing the melody, boy, you would hear them really strong. Everybody singing the melody can be really strong, and just, it can really bring some power into a verse of song, really bring some power into a stanza of song. And that's when everybody comes and they sing in unison. Boy, there's power in that. There's unity in that. There's strength in that. But, and that's good sometimes. But take music as an example. When they go and sing in harmony, when you get some ladies that can sing a high part or a tenor part, or some ladies that can sing an alto part, men that can sing baritone, men that can sing bass, some that can sing a melody, those that sing soprano. When you have the different parts all being sung, wow, it can make just beautiful music. And the same thing is going to be true when it comes to in a church family. When there is harmony, it'll produce great beauty. What is disharmony? Well, disharmony is when some choir member has got a little upset and they're holding a grudge because, you know, pastor shouldn't have talked that mean to us the other week. I think I'm going to be upset at him. And they hold a grudge in their heart. Or so-and-so, you know, George, he didn't speak nicely to me, or somebody didn't talk nice to me, or I went out to get a drink of water and somebody took my seat. Well, maybe you shouldn't go out to get a drink of water then. You know, it's funny sometimes. Sometimes we can, you know, let silly things bother us, or somebody offends us, or somebody hurts us, somebody doesn't treat us right. And that's going to happen because we're imperfect and we're sinners. And I know it happens sometimes where somebody offends us, or somebody, you know, they think, take it upon themselves. They think it's their job to be the judge in the church. They take it upon themselves and think it's their job to go around and correct people about something, or you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't have been wearing that, or you shouldn't. And they go and they got a tendency to offend other people. Should they do that? No. But what's going to have to happen? Somebody's going to have to be spiritually mature, that they're going to make sure that unity runs down. They're going to make sure that harmony is there. Because, you know, harmony makes it beautiful. Harmony is what helps to keep the relationships nice. Harmony is what helps to make things be beautiful and relationships to be good and make the church to be what it ought to be. If we're in disharmony, or we're going to hold a grudge against someone, or if we're not going to forgive someone, or we're going to be angry towards someone, or we're going to speak unkindly towards others, or we're going to maybe try to avoid somebody at handshaking time that I don't want to see them, or I don't want to shake their hand. How in the world could we ever have the blessing of God and the power of God if we don't want to be in unity and be in harmony? Is it important? Yes, it's important. Very important. Do we want God to bless our church? Yes, we do. Do we want the power of God? Yes, we do. And there needs to be unity because unity produces strength. There needs to be harmony because harmony produces beauty. We must have unity of purpose and harmony of people. Remember I said before, we won't have unity of people in the sense that we're all different. We're all unique. We've all got different personalities. We've all got different backgrounds. People can come from all different kind of status levels, if you will. And it would never be good in a church if there's, you know, some elite or some wealthy that look down and, oh, I'm sorry, I don't talk to the poor people in the church, or I don't have nothing to do with them. See how silly that would be? There ought to be a harmony of people. A harmony. It shouldn't be that, you know, some think that they're better than others because they had such and such, or this background, or, you know, they've been more schooled better, or they've been in church longer. No. That would never be right. We must have unity of purpose and harmony of people. Harmony of people. People will be different, and personalities will be different. And you know what? Sometimes personalities can clash. Just like in a home. Do brothers and sisters always get along perfectly? No. For some reason, the Bible says that a brother is born for adversity. I guess God knows. Sometimes brothers can be annoying to sisters, and sometimes brothers seem to think that sisters are annoying, but usually it's just their own pride and that sort of thing. You know what can happen then too? And some of you that don't come from a big family, or you don't have a lot of kids, or you didn't have a lot of brothers and sisters, you maybe wouldn't believe it, but yeah, brothers and sisters don't always perfectly get along. Sometimes they annoy one another. And you know what happens in a similar sense? Sometimes in a church family, well, that Christian brother, somebody, you'd never believe it, but somebody probably gets annoyed by you. Or some Christian sister, there's probably somebody else in the church that kind of gets annoyed by her. Why? Because different personalities, different backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds sometimes, and some people are brought up a certain way, and some people do this, and some people talk a lot, and some people don't like to talk much, and some people are really outspoken, and they really say what they think, and you don't always want to hear what they have to say. And so what happens? Sometimes there could be a little strife or a little adversity, but what do we need? We need harmony of people. We need unity of purpose and harmony of people. God made each of us different, and God made each of us unique, and God loves every one of us. He knew exactly how He made us, and He didn't make a mistake. We each have something to offer to God. We each have something to offer in a church family. We're all necessary and important. And the Bible would teach us in the book of Ephesians that all of us, God can use all of us to help to edify and build up one another in the church and make the church stronger and make it what it ought to be. So we're all important. We're all valuable. We're all needed. Let me make a few quick statements. This is so important. Number one, every person is a unique individual. Every person is a unique individual. Don't try to make others to be like you. Just love them for who they are and seek to be in harmony. Everyone, every person is a unique individual. God made them that way. So rather than trying to make others to be just like you, just love them for who they are and seek to be in harmony. Isn't that good? Isn't that important? We'll never succeed in changing other people, but we can change ourselves. We can change our attitude. We can change the way we're going to deal with other people. I have a book at home. It was written a long time ago, How to Treat Different Kinds of Church Members. Maybe it's a good book to read sometimes. How can we get along with others? Because we're all different and unique. Every person is a unique individual. Don't try to make others to be just like you. Just love them for who they are and seek to be in harmony. Here's the second statement. We were all created for one purpose, and that's to bring glory to God. John wasn't created for one purpose, and George created for another purpose, and Edie created for another purpose, and Lauren created for another purpose. No, we were all created for one purpose. We were all created for that one purpose of bringing glory to God. And that's why we need unity of purpose. That's why we need unity of purpose. We got our common bond. We've decided to follow Jesus. We want to live for Him. We want to glorify God with our lives and in our church. We were all created for that one purpose, to glorify God. And remember that. Remember that. I said, number one, every person is a unique individual. Number two, we were all created for one purpose, and that's to bring glory to God. Number three, we must unify to fulfill that purpose more effectively. We must unify to fulfill that purpose more effectively. We must unify to fulfill that purpose more effectively. If we remain separated, or we don't come together, or we don't draw together and become united together, then will we be as effective as God wants us to be in accomplishing His purpose for us as a church and as believers? No, we won't. That's why it's important that believers come together, join together for church, join together be faithful, join together in Sunday school, join together in Christian growth, join together in fellowship, join together so we develop our Christian friendships amongst the people of God, join together in prayer, have prayer times together, and join together. Why? Because that will unite our hearts together. That will unite our hearts to fear the Lord and serve the Lord and love the Lord. Unite together for soul winning. Unite together for witnessing. Unite together to do what Christ wants. Why? Because it'll bring us together in that purpose. That purpose of glorifying God. That purpose of reaching the lost. That purpose of bringing others to Jesus. That purpose of growing in our lives and maturing. It's important that we unify to fulfill that purpose more effectively. Number one, I said this, every person is a unique individual. Number two, we are all created for one purpose, and that's to glorify God. Number three, we must unify to fulfill our purpose, that purpose more effectively. Number four, for us to be unified in one body, we must walk in harmony. For us to be unified in one body, we must walk in harmony. We need to walk in step with one another, right? Have you ever seen a three-legged race? You know what a three-legged race is? BJ, come stand beside me. A three-legged race is when you've got two people, and I one time saw a race with a whole group of people, whole row of long people together, and they were all tied together at the ankle. A three-legged race, you're going to get some people, right? And they have to be, and they'll be tied together with one leg, so two people, three legs. You know what? Boy, there's got to be harmony then, right? It can't be that, you know, I'm trying to go one direction and he's trying to go another direction, or, you know, he wants to walk and I'm dragging back here, and, or I'm walking ahead and he's dragging back there, right? No, we've got to walk in step together, right? Can we do it?
One, two. We're doing a poor job of it. We got to walk in unison together, okay? Oh, wait, outside foot. Get your foot back. Here we go. One, two, one, two. Okay. And, you know, hey, we've got to do that. We've got to walk in harmony as believers. Walking in harmony as believers means that it's not, well, one person thinks we should do it one way, another person wants to do it another way, one person wants to go this direction, one person wants to go that direction, one person thinks we should pray this way, one person thinks we should pray another way, one person thinks we should do something or shouldn't do something. There's got to be us unifying together in the body. There's got to be walking together in harmony. There can't be, well, so-and-so, well, we're just different. We're just different, so I'm not going to talk to them. Well, we're just different, so I'm not going to sit by them. Or we're just different, so, you know, what a silly attitude that would be, right? There's got to be harmony. We've got to love one another. We've got to serve one another. We've got to be kind to one another and tender-hearted to one another and forgiving one another. We must walk in harmony. It can't be that we hold a grudge or we're bitter at somebody or we're angry at somebody or we just don't particularly like somebody. If we don't particularly like somebody, then we're saying we don't like God's plan. God made us all unique. If everybody in the world was just like you, boy, it'd be awful. Awful. If everybody in the world was just like me, it'd be horrible. Horrible. We're all different. We're all different. When we don't particularly like someone or we say, I don't want to get along with them, what? Are we saying we don't like, you know, God did a poor job in making them? Because God didn't make them like me, you know? No. We're going to have to love those that are not like us. Remember that we're unique individuals and we're going to have different personalities and we're going to have different backgrounds and we've got something common to unite us together. We've got a common bond. We've got a common purpose. We want to glorify God, but don't be so caught up on little things or petty things or silly things and that we have disagreements or we don't want to get along with one another or we don't want to forgive somebody else. What a tragedy that'd be. What a shame that would be. For us to be unified in one body, we must walk together in harmony. Let there be harmony. Here's the fifth thought. What should we do when someone steps out of harmony? It's not like the others, but here's number five. What should we do when one steps out of harmony? When one steps out of harmony. I mean, maybe somebody does get a little, I don't know, a little ticked off, a little angry, a little bit upset with others, a little bit moody, a little bit frustrated, maybe a little bit that, I don't want to go back there. What should we do? Somebody doesn't want to, it seems like they don't want to get along. It seems like they don't want to be kind. They don't want to get along. They're just happy being grumpy. What should we do when someone steps out of harmony? Again, remember our thought that unity needs to go from the stronger to the weaker, from the top to the bottom, from the spiritually mature to the less mature. When somebody is living in a way that they don't want to be in harmony, they're showing spiritual immaturity. When they wouldn't want to get right with somebody else, or they don't want to live at peace with somebody else, or they just rather be a grump to others, they'd rather be unkind to others, they'd rather hold a grudge in their heart, they're being spiritually immature. They're not being Christ-like. And what do we need to do when there's times where somebody else just seems like they don't want to be in harmony, or they step out of harmony? Love them because of who you are. Not because of what they are. Love them because of who you are, not because of what they are. There may be times where we just have to love others, not because they really deserve love. Not because they've been so good and kind to you. You know what the Bible teaches us, right? It's easy to love those that are good to us. It's easy to do good to those that do good to us. But to do good to those who are unkind to us, that's Christ-like. And can I tell you this truth and these truths, we need to practice this in our own homes, with our own family. But we also need to practice it in our church family. And amongst believers and amongst fellow Christians. Amongst the body of Christ. Love others because of who you are. Not because of what they are. There may be times where they don't deserve my forgiveness. They're just so obstinate. They're just so ornery. They're always so unkind to others. You're going to have to love them because of who you are. Because you know Christ. And because you want a heart of love towards them. And because you want to strive for peace with them. You know, God didn't love us because of who we are. He loved us because of who He is. God is love. What to do when someone steps out of harmony or doesn't want to be in harmony? Love them because of who you are, not because of what they are. Romans 12:10 tells us, be kindly affectioned one to another. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Don't be ornery. Don't be obstinate. Don't be unforgiving. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Show some kindness. Show some affection. Show some love one to another. What should we do when someone kind of steps out of harmony or seems like somebody doesn't want to be in harmony? They maybe want to go their own way or they just seem to enjoy not being in harmony. What should you do? Be consistent. Be consistent. Going back to the illustration of music and so on, you stay on tune. You stay on tune. And that'll make it easier for that person that's going off tune to get back in harmony. You stay on tune. You sing on tune in your Christian life. You sing on tune in your attitude. You sing on tune in how you're going to treat other people. You sing on tune in how you're going to treat your brother. Or you sing on tune in how you're going to treat your sister. You sing on tune in how you're going to treat that other Christian. You sing on tune in how you're going to treat a husband or a child or a parent or a wife or a Sunday school teacher or somebody else. Rather than saying, well, they're mean or they said something unkind or they were grumpy or they don't seem to want to forgive. Okay, you just love them. You decide that you're going to be kind. You decide that you're going to be Christ-like. You decide that you're going to forgive. You decide that you're going to show grace and you're going to show mercy. That's what God did towards us. Your staying on tune and your being consistent can help make it easier for that person to get back in tune and get back in harmony and get back right. If somebody's not in harmony, do we want to just say, fine. Fine. You want to be a grump? Fine. Be a grump. Go ahead. I want nothing to do with you. Meh. Really? Is that how we're going to minister grace one to another? Is that how we're going to edify one another? No. Oh, it'd never be my desire that somebody would be grumpy or upset or go off tune spiritually. Just get so out of sorts or so angry with their pastor or so angry with another Christian or so upset at another person that they just say, oh, I'm looking for another church. Really? 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 I want to do everything I can to reach people and keep people and not have them think they got to just go run off or get all out of sorts or get all out of kilter or get all go looking for this or that. It breaks my heart anytime someone just maybe kind of gets out of tune spiritually, and I wouldn't want people to be offended or hurt or not living in harmony, not striving for unity. Unity is important. God wants there to be unity in our families and unity in our church family. Let's strive for unity of purpose. Will we have unity of people? No, in the sense that we're all different. We're all unique. But we can have unity of purpose and we can have harmony of people. We can have unity of purpose and we can have harmony of people. Though we're unique. Though we're different, we all have one purpose, to glorify God. We all should be one body and just different parts of the body coming together and becoming united and becoming stronger to glorify God and live for the purpose for which God made us and building up one another and encouraging one another and exhorting one another and provoking one another to love and good works and many other things the Bible tells us to do.
Let's strive for unity of purpose and harmony of people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Help us to be challenged and helped by this truth and help others. Help us to love others. Help us to be kind and gracious Christians. Help us to be forgiving. Teach us, Lord, more gentleness and meekness and patience with one another. More long-suffering. And help us, Lord, to show the same grace and kindness and love towards others that you've shown toward us. You didn't love us for who we were. You loved us because of who you were. And Lord, sometimes we just need to act in the same way. To love others. If someone maybe seems a little off tune, someone seems a little grumpy, someone seems a little perturbed or angry, or maybe they're holding a grudge or bitterness, we need to forgive them anyways. We need to love them anyways. If someone's been unkind, we're supposed to overcome evil with good. Not repay evil for evil, but repay good for evil. If someone's maybe hurt us or offend us, will you be spiritual? Will you seek unity and harmony? Will you do something good for them? Will you pray for them even more? Let's show love and kindness. How beautiful it is when brethren walk together in unity. Lord, help us to have a unity of purpose and harmony of people. Challenge us by these thoughts. Help us, I pray, to be spiritual and to be like Christ in the way we treat others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Think on these things. I didn't preach this message because, boy, I thought, boy, there's some serious, serious problems of people angry with one another. There could be. I don't know that. But I know that we're sinful people. And there can easily be times where there's times where we offend others or they offend us or we mistreat others or they mistreat us. Or in our family, we mistreat those in our family sometimes, or they mistreat us. Because we're different and we're sinners. And oh, how we need to practice some godly love and kindness towards others. And realize how important unity is and harmony is in our family.